It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Good evening and welcome to our program. Well, we're into that 4th of July time of year, and how refreshing to watch the very first day of celebration in Washington last week, which actually happened one day after that other celebration from New York, Mondami's Commies and Mondami's Nazis. The winners, Brad Lander, Claire Valdez, Avila Xavier, three primary winners for U.S. Congress. Valdez wants to see the government seize private property. And Chevalier, whoa, what a sweetheart. She once said, and I quote, "I forgot to get napkins, so I just wiped my hand on the American flag behind me." She also said, "This country is an effing disgrace." But wait, there's more. She says, "No illegal aliens should be deported. None. Even if they've committed violent crimes." She believes in erasing all U.S. borders, totally abolishing the police, and she once helped launch the boycott, divestment, and sanctions campaign at Columbia University Apartheid Divest. They said, "We are Westerners fighting for the total eradication of Western civilization." Get that? The total eradication of Western civilization. My friends, this should not be rocket science. When a person wants to eradicate Western civilization, she obviously does not believe in our Constitution. This should disqualify her from running for Congress. As a Congresswoman, she would take an oath to both support and defend the Constitution. But of all the landmarks in Western civilization, they hate Israel the most. All three winners are anti-Israel, questioning Israel's right to even exist. Lander defeated another Democrat, Dan Goldman. Now, Dan Goldman was already a person so far to the left, he prosecuted Trump during his impeachment of 2019. But you see, he's not far enough to the left because he's Jewish. Now, despite being Jewish, he went out of his way to say that his campaign received no funding from AIPAC. He went out of his way to say he's against Netanyahu. Sorry? Still not good enough. Just days before the election, Goldman stopped at Poetica Coffee. This is in the Williamsburg neighborhood of Brooklyn, New York. Well, not long after his visit, the coffee shop posted a message on social media saying it would have refused him service had the staff recognized him. They said, and I quote, "We don't serve racists, fascists, homophobes, genocide deniers, or anyone in between." My friends, there has been no genocide in Gaza. Even the Biden administration reported that. There was a retaliation against Hamas, which was elected by Gaza. And Hamas, by the way, does call for the complete genocide of Israel. They were going out of their way to murder and rape innocent Jewish civilians that day. But try explaining this to some of these coffee shop owners. And it's not just coffee shops. A student at Cornell recently turned down an internship that was offered by a company because the company was run by Jewish people. He says, "I won't work with Jews." I told you this is not just about Israel. It's real, honest-to-goodness anti-Semitism. Just for the record, I'm Jewish. A Jewish Christian, but Jewish. And here is what I have to say to this self-righteous blowhard from Cornell. Now, I myself don't own a large business, so I'm not hiring anybody. But if I were, I would offer you no such internship because I have no desire to work with an anti-Semitic pig. What do you think of that? Yes, anti-Semitism. That's the direction of our country, ladies and gentlemen, and it's being spearheaded by Democrat candidates. They call conservatives fascists, but they want the government to seize all property and means of production. They want to tell us what to eat, what to drive, how to speak with correct pronouns. When has Trump ever done anything like that? But they don't stop by calling us fascists. They also call us Nazis, a specific movement of fascism. Well, what could possibly remind us more of the Nazis than Jew hatred? Not to mention that they're backing a candidate for Senate in Maine who actually wore a Nazi tattoo for many years. Yes, indeed, no matter what state they run in, be it New York, be it Maine, be it Texas, Democrat candidates never fail to impress us with their stupidity and ignorance. Tallarico, candidate for Senate in Texas, now says Jesus was a socialist Palestinian.
It's very strange every time I think about it that the most popular figure in our country, particularly on the conservative right, is this, you know, socialist anarchist from ancient Palestine.
Jesus was an anarchist. Jesus, I guess that's why he told people to pay their taxes. And my friends, this was Rome. They were paying taxes to the Romans, the very people who had conquered them. Jesus still didn't want them to take up arms. Don't you just love it when political candidates refer to the Bible without reading it? You'd think those who want to lead the country would stop talking like such morons. And the stupider they are, the more smug they sound. Jesus was not a Palestinian. There has never been a country called Palestine. The country was called Israel. They were referring to it as Judea, named for the tribe of Judah in the time of Jesus, after they returned from the Babylonian exile and got conquered by the Romans shortly afterwards. Read your New Testament. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And if you don't trust the New Testament, we have coins from that era with the name Judea written on them. We have ruins of ancient synagogues proving the Jews' ancient claim to the land. This idea that they came and stole the land from some indigenous people called the Palestinians, it's such bunk. Emperor Hadrian, early in the 2nd century, renamed the land Palestine. It was renamed, that was a Latin designation, referring to the old word Philistine. Now, they had been a country, but they had been extinct for many centuries. They were enemies of the Jews. That's why Hadrian changed the name to rub their faces in. And I've talked about this before. So Palestine became an informal designation of the land. In time, there were a lot of Arabs there because of Muslim expansion. By the time we got to the 20th century, there were Jews and Arabs living in the land. The United Nations offered a solution, a two-state solution. The Arabs turned it down, and the Arabs were calling themselves Arabs. In the 1960s, Yasser Arafat came up with this new narrative, and he renamed the Arabs from that land Palestinians. This is all history. It can be checked in any real history book. Speaking of Israel, all of you know how much I support President Trump and Vice President Vance. I like them. I support them. But I do think some of their comments lately about Israel have been out of line. I understand they're trying to make a deal with Iran. They need Israel to cool it. I get it. But Israel's strikes in Lebanon are in response to being attacked by Hezbollah. What part of that do people not understand? And I know, technically Trump and Vance admit Israel does have a right to defend herself. But still, they call for measured responses. Measured responses to missiles. Missiles being fired into their country day after day. Can you just imagine some country telling the United States to go soft in response if Mexico launched missile attacks? And this talk about innocent civilians that were blown up in buildings, I'm so tired of this. Yes, there are innocent civilians. Yes, that's sad. It's always sad. But Israel gives warning to civilians before she attacks. War is messy. And terrorist strategy 101 is to place terrorists within civilian population to force collateral damage and make Israel look bad. That's their entire strategy. They have been known to launch weapons from hospitals, schools. Now, Trump's no dummy. He knows this. By the way, Israel was our partner in this war against Iran. Why is she left out of the peace negotiations? Rubio is having separate talks right now with Israel and Lebanon. That idea should be adopted in a more substantial way. My proposed solution? We tell Iran to separate themselves from Hezbollah and take the handcuffs off Israel. The Israel-Lebanon conflict gets looked at as completely separate from the America-Iran conflict. It won't happen. It's a good idea, but it won't happen. Iran plans to continue funding Hezbollah, and they're going to fund it with money that comes their way as a result of this peace deal. I can only hope that Trump's real strategy is to just make it look like a good deal until after the midterms. And then, with no more political jeopardy, go back and obliterate the place. I do think that's his strategy. I at least hope it is. In other news, Democrats used to say illegals weren't voting in elections. They were telling us we were getting paranoid. No evidence of that. Now they're passing laws allowing them to vote in elections. This is the proposal in Los Angeles. Should we be surprised? Not at all. What Democrats deny today, they brag about and revel in tomorrow. They used to deny that they were socialists. Now they wear the name socialist like a badge of honor. As I keep saying, soon we'll see the same about the 2020 election. You just watch. It'll happen. Right now, they still deny that it was fixed. But in time, they'll boast about it. Sure, we fixed it. After all, Trump was another Hitler. We just stopped Hitler. Wouldn't you have wanted to stop Hitler? From the party of anti-Semitism, Nazi tattoos, seizing of private property, defunding the police. Yeah, they're the ones defending us from Nazis. Other news, Michelle Obama is suing over defamation of character because of that wrestler who said she was really a man. Look, I don't care for the Obamas, but that doesn't mean I'm going to support idiotic comments about them. Michelle is not a man. All that talk is so ludicrous. Still, having said that, think about it. Since Democrats go out of their way to claim that the entire LGBTQ movement is perfectly normal and even beautiful, how exactly is this insinuation a defamation of character? It may not be true, but they can't take it as an insult. Not according to the beliefs of her party. Speaking of the Obamas, didn't you just love that ceremony which dedicated his new presidential library? The building looks like a giant toilet sticking upside down out of a giant trash can. But the ceremony sure was fun. We saw Biden get lost on stage again. Well, he was probably looking for his own library. Hey, Joe, if they ever build you one, it will be more like a bookmobile. But the highlight was the acknowledgement that this building was on stolen Native American land. Not a promise to give the land back, mind you, just an acknowledgement that it was stolen. Attention, all Democrats. If you're so concerned about stealing land, why not speak out against the communists in your party who plan to seize all private property? This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, hello, Bob. How are you doing this afternoon?
Good. Did you have a nice Father's Day?
I had a fantastic Father's Day. I got to go to a football game, and it was an indoor one, mind you.
So who was playing?
It was our own San Diego Strike Force. They were playing against the Vegas Nighthawks, and we won, which means we get an automatic first-round bye in the playoffs. So very good job, Strike Force. Shout out to you guys. And I just had a great Father's Day otherwise. It was very, very fun. So with that in mind, for those who didn't know, I was off 2 weeks. And I don't know if you know this, but there's a lot of news within 2 weeks when you don't report it. There's
well,
so
with Trump,
much.
It changes by the hour.
It's true. We can talk about how there's a Texas public school that's now going to require students to read the Bible within its school grounds. I mean, for me, I think that's a great idea because now, if you even aren't religious, the Bible is such an interesting book to read in the first place.
Well, they can just assign it like they would assign any other history book if they
wanted
to.
They could, exactly.
The ACLU is going to have a conniption fit.
And you know they already have already.
Oh, of course,
with that whole
of course.
We could talk about how there was the director of, is it SNAP or the food stamps director? And one of the congresspeople
said. Oh, I saw that. He was asking her if drinking Coca-Cola was healthy.
Yeah, and she goes.
Now, I love Coca-Cola. It's my favorite drink, but I'm not going to call it healthy, for Pete's sake. Right. Or demand government funds be used for it.
Her argument was, well, you know, there's people that are diabetic. They're going to need sugar. As a doctor.
And he looks at her and he says, so that's the remedy?
Exactly. If you read some of the comments on that video, by the way, there's plenty of doctors who say, no, we strongly urge diabetics not to drink soda. If you're going to drink a sugary drink, do juices. They're natural.
Well, diabetics
sugars.
Are known to keep a little piece of candy with them if their sugar falls.
Exactly.
But still,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, it sounded so ridiculous.
And her excuse was like, I don't want to speak for individuals over and over.
Yeah,
it's just answer this question. And besides, Coca-Cola themselves, they're a huge conglomeration. Like they need extra funding from the government to help them stay in business. So anyways, with all that in mind, I thought I could just like focus on the big, big story, which of course is the Trump and Iran situation.
Now they're actually coming out and saying, yes, we plan to build a nuclear bomb. They've
been
denying it up to now. They've said they wanted to do nuclear enrichment for power and energy.
Well, the other thing I was going to point out was your monologue. I said this to you while we were off the microphone there. I said, man, your monologue has already aged.
I recorded it Friday morning, but that's a good time for me to record. There is always, although I'm sure Trump is still calling this a peace deal. He hasn't declared that the peace deal is over.
Correct.
So it hasn't aged that much.
So if I can read this story, on June 18th specifically, Trump and Iran have announced that they were signing a ceasefire deal. Now, this is not a peace treaty deal by any means. This is just a ceasefire.
We've been having a ceasefire for like the last 3 months, and they fired every single day.
This actual ceasefire deal is known as the Islamabad Memorandum of Understanding between the United States of America and the Islamic Republic of Iran. According to senior U.S. officials, they said, quote, this is fundamentally an agreement that allows us to open the Strait of Hormuz immediately, commit to Iranians to destroying the nuclear dust, and then give us a dial where if the Iranians dial up their good behavior, we respond by dialing up the kind of economic and sanctions relief that can make them more a prosperous country. This deal also comes with a 60-day window to negotiate more details, and then hopefully they would become a peace treaty.
Their only plan is to get through the midterms. They want to stretch this out so that Trump will lose the midterms. So they don't want a war and they don't want peace. They'll ask for a deal, then they'll break the deal, then Trump starts bombing them. We want a peace deal. We are ready to negotiate a peace deal. And then they're going to break that, and they're going to go back and forth. And if we keep playing ball with them, we are going to lose those midterms.
Honestly, Trump should have gone back to what his comments were last time we talked about this on the air, Bob. And that was the fact that we said specifically, this is the least matter of the factor thing situation is this Iran deal, because there's so many things that are coming up to this midterm, and Democrats are going to chew this up like it's nobody's business.
I think there's got to be a way for us to just keep fighting them and somehow keep the Strait of Hormuz open and escort ships out and keep the oil prices down. There's got to be a way to do both.
I know that Trump's doing his best. That's for sure.
I think that's the idea. The problem is ships being afraid to go through
exactly
whether we would protect them
or not. Iran, on the other hand, said, no, it's the fact that they're not communicating back with us, so therefore we have no choice but to shoot them down. Like,
they're not registered with us.
Something like that. It's ridiculous. It's a bunch of garbly gook.
But it's working. They're playing the Americans for saps, and Trump knows better, but I understand. And look, I wish Trump's supporters would wise up more, because there's so many things he's done, and we can debate whether the war was a good idea or a bad idea. I'm all for it myself. I don't care about the gas prices, but let's just say somebody's correct in being concerned about the war. Let's give them that. Look at all the things Trump has done, like the big, beautiful deal.
Mm-hmm.
No tax on tips, no tax on Social Security,
mm-hmm.
no tax on overtime. And what, you're going to forget all that and elect these communist Nazi socialists instead?
Right.
How stupid can people be?
And not to mention, the specific gas prices is not affecting that much in the outside of the state. In this state of California, it's mostly because...
It's because of Newsom and his taxes.
Exactly, yeah. So,
and it was way higher all over the country under Biden because of global warming.
And not to mention, national prices in terms of gas this last month is only up by 4 cents. 4 cents as an average. That's such a minimum. I'll pay the 4 cents to every person that wants to go get gas.
But you know what? It could be up $5 a gallon. And if it keeps Iran from developing a nuclear bomb, which they're openly admitting they plan to do, as if we didn't know that already, how stupid can people be?
It's true. And even then, even if the gas prices do go up that high, you know, there's car companies that are making these things called hybrid cars. So that way the mileages go even longer.
Yeah, my son has one. He loves his hybrid
car.
Exactly.
I want to get one, but my wife is saying, listen, we just
invested $6,000. An all-electric, you can't really go anywhere. They don't have enough electric power
stations. And I know there's listeners who continue to listen to other shows on KCBQ here with us on The Answer. They already know my thoughts on the Slate trucks and Tesla, per se. So I always twitch when I hear that name. I can't stand hearing that name. But nevertheless, so earlier today, Iran shot down another ship that was traveling through the Strait of Hormuz. Trump says that Iran violated the ceasefire actually back on the 25th of June specifically, saying that Iran launched attack drones at ships passing through the Strait of Hormuz. He said it was one of those drones that struck a cargo ship off the coast of Oman on Thursday. When a reporter asked if he considered the ceasefire to still be in place and if there will be any consequences for Iran, Trump said at the White House, and I quote, "I don't like the fact that they took a shot yesterday. They shouldn't be doing that. You'll find out." So
I'm telling you, Brendan, Trump is going to still insist that his peace deal is in place.
That's exactly what
he's
saying.
And like I said, I'm hoping that he's just acting like it's a deal to get through the midterms, and then he comes back and just blows their heads off.
I hope so, too. Some more information that he offered up was on his Truth Social, saying specifically, the Islamic Republic of Iran shot at least 4 one-way attack drones at ships traversing the Strait of Hormuz. One of the drones solidly hit the upper deck of a large and very expensive cargo-carrying ship. Damage was done, but the ship was able to proceed on its way. We knocked down 3 other drones. Obviously, this is a foolish violation of our ceasefire agreement.
Well, he calls them foolish, and he says these tough things because he's hoping they'll back down. They do at times back down, but they're not backing down because they're scared. They're backing down because they want to drag it out to the midterms. They are not afraid of dying. In their minds, in their theology, in their ideology, they have nothing to lose.
Yep.
If they get killed, they're just going to go to paradise with 72 virgins.
And now this last statement I do have to make is specifically about the United Nations, of course, because I know how much
I
care.
Oh, I just can't wait. So, my favorite organization.
Trump's statement came on the heels of the International Maritime Organization, which is a United Nations agency, pausing efforts to evacuate ships and seafarers stranded in the strait. And this is coming directly from a quote from Arsenio Dominguez, who's the Secretary General of the International Maritime Organization, saying in a statement that the evacuation plan would be temporarily paused to reconfirm the necessary safety guarantees continue to be in place for the ships for our evacuation list and all those in the region. Now, this is a shocking thing here. I'm okay with this pause in the situation. You want to make sure that the safety is well planned and well timed in this situation. And therefore, I'm okay with the slight pause right now. I don't
except that someone's just trying to drag things out. Also, even in this deal that Iran was kind of sort of claiming they were negotiating, where they were going to allow inspectors, they were talking about UN inspectors. UN inspectors aren't worth a ring inside a box of Cracker Jack.
And also on top of that, do you realize how skewed United Nations were? Like, again, may I point out to the time where this started much, much earlier in the year, an Iranian ambassador said, America, you better watch out or else there will be some serious consequences. Not a single member in that entire UN, besides Israel, who had our back, batted an eye at that. They said, okay.
And in the past, Syria has been the head of their Security Council. They've condemned Israel over 100 times now, but they never condemn any other nation in that area.
So again, I would like to point out before we get the angry calls, we both think that Trump is actually playing this situation fantastically.
I like Trump. I'm concerned about Trump. I'm concerned that their strategy is to drag this out to the midterms.
That's right. Exactly. I'm 100% behind you on this.
I don't mind him just saying, you know what, we're going to pause it for right now. And we're going to be back in December.
I'd rather hear that than,
you know, there's some great people. There's some great people. You can tell they really want to make a deal. Some really smart people there.
Yeah, again, Trump is so addicted to deals, and that's what he wants to try to get done.
He's very good at them, but you can't make a deal with these people. They have no intention, but we're starting to bomb them again. Mm-hmm. In a couple of days, somebody, one of the neighbor nations is going, oh, they're ready to talk. They want to make a deal. They want to make a deal.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of this.
I am too. And I couldn't agree more. Just wait till December at this point. And even then, I say just put it at the bottom of your
list. Just say, we're going to escort ships through the Straits of Hormuz. The gas prices are going to be fine. As for Iran, we'll be back.
Exactly, exactly.
You a Schwarzenegger. I'll be back.
Exactly. All right, well, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, well, I know you're not a huge sports fan, but I do need to talk about one of the most controversial
topics. Well, I have
right
opinions
now.
About PC and woke getting
exactly.
into sports.
Exactly. We'll talk
about speaking
that.
Of sports, guess he's back next week.
Oh, yeah, Jim.
Jim Barrier.
Yeah. Big news. We'll talk about that when we come back.
This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? a great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading! Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Good news, great news, fantastic news. The deal is still in place. We can see where it may not look that way. Say hello again to Brendan Thomas.
Well, I think at this point it is going to be off the table at some point. But anyways, we already talked about that in the last segment. This time around, what month are we in, Bob? We're in the month of June. June has so
just
many.
Just about July, that's just days from July.
You know what? I want to read you some of the many other monthly celebrations here within June that I did some research on. We have African American Appreciation Month, Men's Health Month. This one, Weird Al's going to appreciate. National Accordion Awareness Month. He loves the accordion.
Now, just the other day, I was saying to my wife, accordions don't get as much appreciation as they deserve. So well, I'm very happy to hear that.
Well, unfortunately, when you get strapped into polka music, I think you're kind of done at that point. We have National Adopt a Cat Day, Adopt a Cat Month. We have National Camping Month, National DJ Month, National Fresh Fruit and Vegetables. These are all fantastic. The one I do need a shout out for sure, just because it's been really recent for me, is Potty Training Awareness Month. Oh my gosh, the struggles I had to go through with my childhood. Yeah, I'm finally happy that he's fully potty trained.
That is something parents really celebrate when that's finally over.
But of course, the big one that gets the most publicized and the most talked about out of every
something
single
something about LGBTQ, I suppose.
It is Pride Month this month. And that means it needs to get televised and advertised. And therefore,
Their tolerance of intolerance people that aren't tolerant.
Major League Baseball has done a whole bunch of things for this month, for Pride Month, for a bunch of baseball teams. Two of which I wanted to mention that happened this month alone. We have two members of the Los Angeles Dodgers, relief pitcher Blake Trinian and outfielder Alex Call, were lone members to not wear a rainbow pride hat. Instead, they wore their typical blue and white Dodgers hat at the time. Not to mention, when Blake Trinian was out there pitching, because he was not following Major League Baseball rules, he was forced to have one ball every single time he faced a batter. Now, he got out of there with no hits to deal
with. What rules was he not following?
He has to match with every single person on the team, so he had to wear a pride.
What business did they have to tell people to put on a pride hat? That should be their own business.
Exactly.
It violates the moral standards, but definitely the religion of some people.
And again, the very next day, MLB did decide to change that rule and just get rid of it entirely. So
especially since they never had any problem when people wanted to go out there with Black Lives Matter hats.
It's true. It's true. Next up, so then we have another issue that just came about, was the Giants. Now, this is specifically the wording from Mandan, who is the CEO, I guess you could say, of MLB, but he's the guy that's in charge of all of MLB. So specifically, Major League Baseball was saying that they are denying that they're targeting players who oppose gay rights and put some blame on the San Francisco Giants for an embarrassing flap at the team's Pride Night celebration. A letter from Commissioner Rob Manfred revealed on Monday. Specifically, there was a pitcher, and I believe there was two other players on the Giants organization, who had written a Bible verse on their hat. That Bible verse being, if I could find my paperwork for it.
Probably something from Genesis.
It is correct. It's from Genesis, but I just got to find my thing here.
Well, it was probably a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife.
That's something
probably
like that, yes.
Now, how exactly does that violate gay rights? There's no law in our country that you're not allowed to be gay. But if somebody's not allowed to believe differently, then it's their rights that are being violated.
That's right. Okay, so it was three Giants that night. Pitcher Landon Roop, relievers JT Brubaker and Ryan Walker. And they've written Genesis chapter 9, verses 12 through 16 on their caps, which I believe is the exact same verse that you were actually mentioning earlier. Following the silent protest, MLB warned players not to deface their uniforms, is what they said publicly. MLB's policy must be uniformly enforced regardless of the message in order for it to survive legal challenge, which means prohibiting both the positive message and negative message. By warning the Giants players that they may not include Bible verses on their caps in the future, MLB was not discriminating or chastising those players based on their religious beliefs. Rather, MLB was enforcing a long-standing collectively bargained rule that keeps uniforms clean and avoids controversy. The rule has been similarly applied to a variety of messages. Some are as innocuous as messages to a player's mother or honoring a deceased friend. What's wrong with doing that? What's wrong with honoring a friend? What's wrong with honoring your own mother who passed away from cancer? I don't understand.
Why can't they just write whatever they want on their own uniform?
Exactly. I get they are employees under you, but at the same time, they are not damaging anything within the uniform itself.
This other team, the very gall to command them to wear this gay pride cap, but then tell them that they are not allowed to put what they want on their cap. Mm-hmm. What kind of hypocrisy is that?
Exactly. And to say that a Bible verse is defacing something,
Are Bible verses that disagree with the lifestyle of homosexuality,
yes,
but
I
that
get it.
Doesn't take away their, when they say it robs gay people of their rights, that is simply not true. We live in a country where you don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to believe in the Bible. Nobody's telling anybody that they can't be gay.
Right.
But a lot of people from the left are telling people that we're not allowed to even believe that homosexuality is wrong.
Right, right. In posting the letter from Manfred, Senator Josh Hawley, who is a Republican from Missouri, claimed victory over the Major League Baseball, saying Manfred admitted fault in the office's handling of the Giants' Pride Night. Quote, "Commissioner writes to me and admits that they are wrong to threaten the Giants' players over Bible verses and promises never to fine or discipline these players, or any players, for their religious beliefs." An MLB representative declined to comment to Hawley's characterization of Manfred's letter. Manfred seemed to blame the flap on the Giants specifically, saying the club failed to properly inform the players that they did not need to wear the Pride Night rainbow cap. They were opted to wear their normal uniforms, but they were never suggested by their team's organization, they said.
You know, I've got a radical idea, Brendan.
Go ahead.
This out, see what you think.
Okay.
Maybe baseball leagues should just concern themselves with the game of baseball.
Agreed. I mean, for goodness sake, there's not a single active player who's openly gay right now. In fact, if you look through baseball history, Major League Baseball, there's only been two players ever in the history that came out openly gay, and they did that after they retired from baseball specifically. They were Glenn Burke, who played from 1976 to 1979. He came out in 1982. And Billy Beane from 1987 to 1995, he came out in 1999, so long after he retired from baseball.
And if there were some gay players, I wouldn't care. I don't think anybody else would care, as long as they're good players. But when they're going to tell us what we're allowed to believe regarding their lifestyle,
yeah,
that's a bridge too far.
A few other things, by the way. San Francisco has now gone down to the city identifying as LGBTQ+. They're down to 16%, which is 25% lower than it was 10 years ago. So the gay community is shrinking over there in the first place. So,
well, that used to be kind of a haven, and now the whole country's a haven. So that's probably why
they're spreading out.
And maybe they don't like all the you-know-what that I'm not allowed to say on the radio on the streets.
Leaving
for that reason.
I was going to say, yeah, the infrastructure or disgusting ways that San Francisco's already having, yeah. In a meeting with reporters Tuesday, Buster Posey, who is the Giants' president of baseball relations, declined to address the Pride Night dispute or the commissioner's criticism of the team, saying, quote, "I understand there's some strong feelings on this topic. There's differing perspectives, and out of respect to everybody involved, it's not something I'm going to revisit." And when asked multiple questions about the June 12th incident, he kept replying the answer of, "I'll answer baseball questions only." That's it. And that should be what it should be. If you want
there
to talk,
there used to be a time where sports was just a haven for all this nonsense. Mm-hmm. It was one place where people, regardless of their different religions or politics, could just come together.
I don't mind freedom of speech for players, but at the same time, when you're playing in the sport, I don't need you to invade in my sport, for that matter.
Yeah, exactly.
So again, as much as I'm okay with a Pride Month per se, I am not okay with it invading into my sports. I just want it separate.
Especially since in the name of tolerance, that movement's about as tolerant as a doorknob.
And just as if I want BLM out of my sports. Yeah. I don't want to see it all over my field. I don't want to see caps of it.
We don't need it in our face.
Exactly.
They keep saying what we do in our bedroom is our own business. Well, fine. Stop bringing us into your bedroom.
That's right. By the way, last thing to mention is that there was a minor league baseball team. I want to say they're in the single A. It was the York Revelation. season, last week, the players were forced to wear rainbow sleeves, and they said absolutely not. Only 9 players agreed to wear rainbow sleeves, but on your roster, you had to have at least 18, so therefore, they were forced to forfeit their Pride Night game.
And hey, I just realized what that verse was all about.
Okay.
Because you were saying Genesis 9, and I was thinking, wait a minute, it's Genesis 1 that talks about men, and I think they're talking about Noah, and they were going back to the rainbow, reclaiming the biblical idea of the rainbow being God's promise not to flood the world again that he gave to Noah. They were trying to say, if I'm going to wear a rainbow, it's going to be a rainbow as I believe in rainbows. I think that's the
Let me read the verse. It says, and God said, this is the sign of the covenant. I'm making it between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth.
Yeah, that makes sense. First, I'm thinking, wait, what does Genesis 9 have? And then when I remembered the rainbow, and rainbow's what all this stuff was about.
Exactly, yeah. But again, keep it separate from my sports is all I'm saying. You can have your own personal beliefs. I have no problem with that. That's what this country is all about. But keep it out of my sports is all I'm saying. So, final answer. All right. Well, when we come back, we have a very special thing happening this Saturday, as we know, the 250th birthday of America. And what night celebrate it by looking at the films of America? That's right.
Should be fun.
I am going to be talking about some of my favorite 4th of July films. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Bob Siegel not only writes fiction, but nonfiction as well. Over the years, Bob has received wonderful comments about his book on Christian apologetics entitled, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... Many have put this book in the hands of their seeking, unbelieving friends, and the book takes it from there. This is because the book has a rhetorical skeptic that argues with Bob about the harder, less frequently discussed questions. As a result, the reader is immediately aware that they are reading from an author who relates to them. The moment they find themselves questioning something they see, their very question appears in the text. Every question in this book was one that was personally put to Bob during his many years of speaking on college campuses. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. If you've been thinking about getting your pilot's license and a degree in aviation, come fly with us. We have a long history of producing aviation leaders. Whether your focus is on commercial, missionary, or military, we're ready to help you achieve your goals from a Christian worldview. So look us up at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Come fly with us.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, happy birthday, America. 250 long years. But you know what? I am proud to say that I am American for sure. And these movies are going to be also a way to help say that I am proud to be an American. I'm counting down my top 13 4th of July films. Do you know why, Bob? 13 colonies. Otherwise, if I do top 50, we'd be here all night.
So did you have to were there really only 12 and you had to pretend you liked some movie just to make it 13?
Definitely not. No, no. All these I've legitimately seen. I saw a list of somebody actually putting out 50. And luckily, when I got down to the list of movies I did not see, I was down to at least, I think, 18. So I was like, oh, well, that's easy to eliminate some of these.
Is 1776 on your list?
No, it is not, because I have not seen
1776. Oh, Brendan, you've got to rent that. It's a musical, but the dialogue is so excellent.
I will, absolutely. And there's that other one too that you said, like a Benjamin Franklin one, if I remember
correctly. Oh, I saw that recently about the relationship between Ben Franklin and George Whitefield.
And I would love to see that one too. I believe it now, and it's actually now on streaming on the Angel Studios.
Yeah, it's not in the theaters anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So I do want to go over some quick honorable mentions. So one of my honorable mentions is John Adams. That's more of a TV series.
The miniseries, that was very good too.
Absolutely. And my old social studies teacher was one of the soldiers in that movie. So.
Really? Very cool. I didn't know he was that old. Yeah. He's been around life for 250 years.
What do you mean you're here? Anyways, another honorable mention I do want to mention here. And again, this is mostly down to the fact that I am trying to take my list pretty seriously here. I have to put down Air Force One. It's a silly action film.
Oh, I hated that movie.
You turn your brain off, it's fun. It's fun, okay? I mean, come on. Harrison Ford saying, get off my plane, and then kicking out the bad guy. It's awesome. It's awesome. And then number two is Independence Day. Again.
Now, I know that was a very popular movie. I was not a big fan of the movie Independence Day.
Again, I will never defend it. I will say it's one of those movies where I'm just going to say, it's a dumb movie. If you like it, great. If you hate it, I completely understand at the same time.
Well, I didn't care for it that much, but what really spoiled it is Bill Clinton, because the president was very heroic in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Clinton came out and said he related a lot to that prison. I really related to that president.
Well, if only in his dreams, I guess.
Now, the satire of it, Mars Attacks.
I loved it,
but there's one problem with Mars Attacks. They stole their ending from Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
But that was the point, wasn't it?
For
me, all the characters were so one-dimensional and forgettable.
Well,
so.
I think they were viewing it as a two-hour skit rather than a real drama.
I think so, too, yeah. So getting quickly into the list, feel free to comment anywhere you want with my list. But number 13 is Apollo 13, surprisingly.
That was a very good movie.
Very, very good film.
I did like that.
I know. Number 12 I have on my list is Lincoln, starring Daniel Day-Lewis.
Excellent film.
Yes, it's not my absolute favorite Daniel Day-Lewis performance, but it has to be top three.
One of my favorites of his is The Crucible.
I love that one too. Yes, absolutely. Excellent film on that one. Coming in at number 11, I know you hate this movie, but it has a soft spot on me, is Forrest Gump. I know. You will talk about this movie sometime.
I'll just mercifully not see it anymore.
Because I know you're going to get so much email saying, you hate Forrest Gump, Bob?
Picking your best movies is like a box of chocolate. You never know what you're going to pick.
Number 10, I don't know if you've seen this movie, Miracle. This is the one about America.
I don't think I have.
Oh, this is a Disney movie. Miracle is about United States hockey back in 1980, taking on the Soviet Union. And at that time, the United States had a bunch of really young players in Soviet Union.
I missed that one. It sounds good, but
it's
I missed that
excellent
one.
Sports film. Very quotable. Number 9, I have Black Hawk Down, starring...
Never saw that.
Yeah, very, very good film. I'm trying to remember the action star's name, because he's not in a lot of movies anymore. I don't know where he's gone, but Josh Trammell, that's his name. I want to see Josh Trammell in a little bit more movies. Next one, Mel Gibson, very own The Patriot. I think it's a fantastic movie.
My problem with that is they had that stupid scene that's in every action movie, where the villain gets shot, but he's not really dead, and he gets up, and then he shoots back. And I knew they were going to
put... that cliche.
I hate that scene. It's in every action movie. I love Braveheart. So with another Mel Gibson movie, I really wanted to like it. That scene just ruined it for me.
See, I'm okay with it in dramatic or what's the other one?
But it was like so predictable. Like, was there one person in the theater that didn't know that was going to happen?
No, but at the same time, I give it the pass because it's weird. Horror films, I hate it. I'm like, dude, you went through all that just to say, okay, he's dead and we can move on? No, you should really make sure that thing is dead or whatever is chasing you there.
Yeah.
So that's just my opinion on that one. Number 7, I have, if I could find this again, because my list is all wonky here because the printout. I wish I printed it out better. Number 7, I have Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
You know, I have never seen that. And I'm a huge Jimmy Stewart fan, so I'm sure I would like it if I did.
Except for the filibuster scene. You're going to hate it because you're like, wait a second, hold on.
Yeah, well, it would take long enough to do a filibuster for Jimmy Stewart to just say filibuster.
Do you like Patton? Because I have that number 6.
I love the movie Patton.
Great movie.
Fantastic.
And so memorable.
And he turned down the Academy Award.
I know. It's shocking to me. I thought he
would. And he did it out of genuine conviction, and then it became fashionable. So 2 years later, Marlon Brando did the same thing for The Godfather.
True, true. Number 5, I have Glory.
I saw that again just the other day. It's a wonderful movie. Still Denzel Washington won Best Supporting Actor.
Yes.
It kind of introduced him. Just a fantastic movie.
And you know what?
And Matthew Broderick's never been better.
Well, I was going to say, he's got better roles before, which was Ferris Bueller. That was me.
Well, he was known for comedy roles like Ferris Bueller, but here he's playing a serious part, and I thought he did a very good job.
But with Ferris Bueller, that was made for him. There was no other actor that could have done that role, in my
opinion. Yeah, nothing's better than Ferris Bueller, but I thought he did a really good job.
I think so, too. And I think he gets too much slack for his acting. I actually do think he's a really, really good actor.
Yeah, I thought he played that part as well as anybody could have.
Number 4, I have Clint Eastwood's Flags of Our Fathers. Fantastic
movie. I just recorded that and have not seen it yet, but I was planning to sit down and watch it.
I highly, highly recommend it. Paul Walker's in it, along with Ryan Phillippe and Jesse Bradford from the top of my head. Those guys are absolutely excellent. They all put in A+ performances, so you're really going to enjoy it. And you should watch, I don't know if I would call it like a spinoff per se, but Letters of Iwo Jima.
Yes, he made both movies together or consecutively, and they're meant to be a set. One's from our point of view, one's from the Japanese
exactly.
point of view. Say more, but I have not seen either film.
I would highly recommend both, honestly. Okay. And I do like Letters of Iwo Jima more, but I don't put it in my 4th of July list for a reason.
That's all in subtitles, though, when you watch
it. It is. Yeah. I think it's still very, very well done.
You know what that reminds me of? The movie Tora, Tora, Tora?
Oh, yes.
It was filmed at the same time by a Japanese and a Hollywood studio, and neither one knew what the other was doing, and then they spliced it all together.
I like it. Number 3, I have Zero Dark Thirty. I highly recommend that
one. I saw
that.
Yeah.
And then number 2, I have American Sniper. Which
I saw both of those.
Yes, very good film, and also great book, by the way. Read Scott McEwen's American Sniper. It's really, really well done book. And my number 1 favorite 4th of July film, my most patriotic movie for that matter, I'm going to put down Saving Private Ryan. I think it's a very, very good
film. Yeah, it's certainly not an entertaining movie, but a very well-made movie.
I think when it comes to celebrating the patriotism of America, I think this was one of the most important
films.
Yeah,
and just understanding what those guys, they spent the first 40 minutes up at the landing of Normandy on D-Day.
And it's really, you can't take your eyes off the screen with
it
that
was,
scene.
Yeah, it was a well-done movie. Yeah.
Well, Bob, thank you so much for this time with you on the air.
It's always a pleasure, Brendan.